Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. You can find this on page 1613 of your Pew Bibles. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Sometimes I feel bad about having notes, but if Otis Moss III can use notes, and he's a much better preacher than I am, I can use notes occasionally. Question time, and we are going for complete honesty here. No hiding behind you. No, I'm a better Christian than that. We're looking for complete honesty and confession here. Who disagrees with Jesus here? No one? Okay, I'll rephrase it. Who doesn't disagree with Jesus but actually thinks like Martha anyway? Right. You hear what Martha says and you're like, "I get it. I get it. You know, maybe Mary should get off her lazy butt and get in the kitchen and help Martha. And if they both worked on it, the work would get done twice as fast. It would take half the amount of time. Then they both could go lounge at the feet of Jesus." Who thinks that sounds logical? And sounds practical? Like, I get it. And as we get into this, I want to make sure that you don't start thinking that I'm disparaging hospitality and hard work. Let's make sure that we don't get that in our mind, that we're looking to say, no, you're not supposed to do these things. And I thought about Mary Magdalene, and when she discovered Jesus, she was going with her spices to prepare his body. That is work. That is labor. Terrible labor. Awful thing. I do not want the shadow of judgment to come over those who are hospitable, who do labor to help others. I don't want this to become you're not supposed to be hospitable, you're not supposed to do these things. Let's make sure that we're being okay with that. But at the same time, we need to draw a line between celebrating hospitality and celebrating busyness. We need to draw a line between what is actually hospitality and what is just doing for the sake of doing and the sake of looking hospitable. I had questions on my manuscript that I wanted to make sure I asked all of the questions. That's why my notes. Do you, in your busyness, judge those who are less busy as being less hospitable? Do you celebrate the labor of hospitality over actual hospitality? Do you judge those who don't work quite as hard to be hospitable as you do? Do you miss the connection of hospitality over the work of hospitality? To kind of explain how I view true hospitality, I want to do a thought experiment. You can close your eyes if you need to. You don't have to, but you can. I want you to imagine Thanksgiving dinner, but not the actual dinner. We're about 45 minutes before you carved the bird. You're one of those on-the-ball people who pulled the bird out of the oven 45 minutes before you go to carve it, like you're supposed to. That's never happened to me, but that's what you did. And there's a buzz in the house. I want you to imagine that you're experiencing all the motion in the house. You can smell that somebody is making gravy. You see somebody ricing the potatoes. It's all coming together about 45 minutes before the meal. Where in the house are you? Now, all the cooks obviously answered kitchen. That's obviously, you kind of get a pass for this one. But everyone else, like a lot of the other people too, you imagine yourself in the kitchen. You're connecting to the people who are cooking. You're having conversations around all of this. You've been run into about 6 times, and the cooks are yelling about there being too many cooks in the kitchen. Get out of my way. But you want to connect. The whole point of this meal is not even necessarily the food and the deliciousness. Yes, it makes a thing. But more important to almost everyone is just this time as family to connect, to be together. The being served has almost nothing to do with the fact that somebody put food on the plate, but rather somebody was willing to do something for you, and you want to, that is their way of connecting with you. But the connection is what you find most important. Or you can imagine being at it, coming to a dinner party, and there's about 15 minutes more intense cooking that the cook needs to do before the dinner is ready. You find yourself in the kitchen because that's what people do. I'm thinking about Anne and Tom and Pam being in my kitchen while I was trying to get everything put together. And I mean, I was frying chicken. I had taco meat that was condensing. I had cauliflower in the oven still. I had corn tortillas that I needed to get warmed up. I had all of this stuff to do, and everyone was in the kitchen. And I mean, I absolutely had to move bodies around my kitchen. But we all wanted to be together because the whole point was not the fact that I was feeding them. The point was that we were together. There was connection. The whole point was not the service. They did not want me to serve them as a hired hand or a servant. They wanted me to connect with them. Serve them, yes, but also that connection. True hospitality requires the focus to be on the one receiving the hospitality, not on the labor of the hospitality. True hospitality requires that connection, not the labor. But we love to be Martha. We love to be Martha. We love to do the work and make sure everyone sees the labor that we're doing. And sometimes we love to even be that judge that, like, I'm doing more work than you, so I'm more hospitable. We love it. It's great. It feels awesome. It's like taking drugs. It's so good. As I was preparing today, I thought about the hot dog cook-off and how wonderful that was. And then I thought about what I did. Now, I'm not thinking I had much judgment in this one, but I definitely missed something. Because I cooked hot dogs the whole time. I did not have a single conversation with somebody who did not go to this church that day. Not one. I had a couple of pleasantries, maybe 2 sentences, but I didn't connect with anyone that wasn't a member of this church. And the whole idea of the hot dog giveaway was to connect with the neighborhood, and I didn't connect with anyone. I wanted to focus on those hot dogs And granted, I love grilling hot dogs. I love grilling anything. That's me. But it was also the labor of hot dogs need to be done. Hot dogs need to be done. And people offered. That's the thing. There were people that were offering to take over so I could take a break. And nope, I just sat there and did my hot dogs all afternoon. We love to be Martha. We love it. We love it so much. How many people know somebody who has never had a warm plate of food at a holiday meal? Because they focus so much on just working and doing it, and they convince themselves if they weren't in the kitchen the whole time, they weren't laboring the whole time, then the meal was going to fall apart and everything was going to fail. Because I know plenty of people in my life who've never eaten a warm meal on a holiday. Because they just spent the whole time in the kitchen. There was no connection. The people wanted them, legitimately wanted them to stop and eat, and they refused because something might not be perfect. We are so worried about our hospitality being perfect, and I am just as guilty as anyone else. We're so worried about our hospitality being perfect that we miss the connection part of hospitality. And if you ask any millennial, so me, maybe a couple years older than me, to early 20s, that range, or the generation below, the Gen Xers, what they want in their spiritual communities and what they want in their churches, they will universally tell you connection. Now, the younger folks might not be able to tell you that way, but they're like, I want friends. I want people to like me. That's connection. That's what they're looking for in their spiritual communities. And especially in this time, we live in a time of disconnect and amplification of the bad. We have all of this technology that makes us more connected, and it's done the exact opposite. It has reduced our connection to nothing. And people like to blame the young people about this, but it's not their fault. Imagine middle school. Who had a good middle school experience? Fantastic. One had a good middle school experience. I did not. I know most all the other people I know had a terrible middle school experience. Middle school is awful. And then imagine you don't get to leave that at home, at school. It follows you home. It maybe even gets worse at home. Especially if you're one of those kids that's bullied, the bullying follows you home now. It's in your face constantly. And because you're not an adult, you think you can't disconnect. Heck, as an adult, I don't think I can disconnect. That's your life now. That bullying and that terribleness that is middle school follows you home. And then you go to church, and the church people have things to say to you and about you. You're too loud or you're too quiet. You don't talk enough or you talk too much. You're too weird. The music you listen to is bad. You don't dress the right way. You don't look the right way. You're not what a good church kid looks like. You're not good enough for us. If you would just grow up, if you would just mature, if you just have the conversations that we want you to have, you'd be better. We could connect with you more. And then we blame them for not wanting to connect with us. It was the festival I was at last weekend. A speaker told a really frustrating story for me. I'm not going to say who the speaker was. Not that important. Just might add a little color, but not color that really needs to be in this thing. They told this story. He's an 84-year-old man. Told the story about being in an elevator at a hotel in Chicago, and a young man came onto the elevator with him. And the young man was dressed in a way that he found abhorrent. It was really important that everyone know that the young man's pants were too low for him. Really important to this story, according to the storyteller. And he tried engaging with this young man, and the young man didn't want to have a conversation with him. And somehow that was the young man's fault, that the world is going to Hades because the young man didn't want to have a conversation with them. Like, he asked him questions, the young man gave him one or two word answers, because I'll tell you what, a stranger in an elevator talks to me, I don't really usually want to have a conversation with them either. I'm 32 years old. Of course, a teenager, this random old man who is judging the way that he looks, by the way, kids are really good at figuring out if you're judging them immediately. Like, just stupidly good at telling if you're judging them. So he's already judging this kid. He's trying to have a conversation. This kid doesn't want to talk to him. And then they get to the first floor, and the elevator door doesn't open. And so he starts banging on it, says, open this door right now. He starts banging on it. And the attendant on the ground floor had to come in and tell him that there was a door on the other side. And he gets frustrated because the teenager didn't laugh at him. He's frustrated because the teenager didn't laugh at this 84-year-old man who showed signs of either being crazy or senile. He wants the kid to grow up like him, to act like him, and respond to the world like him. And you can hear those same things in Martha when she's talking to Jesus about Mary. Mary, just Jesus, tell Mary to grow up. Tell Mary to do her responsibilities. Tell Mary to respond to the situations in this world like I do. And by focusing so much on the labor of hospitality and not focusing on the recipient of the hospitality, not focusing on connecting with who was in that room, Martha missed the opportunity to sit at the feet of the divine. Think about that for a second. Martha had the opportunity to sit at the foot of God in her home, and she was more worried about the food and the dishes. If any of us was given the opportunity to sit at the feet of the divine, how much it would strengthen our faith. And Martha chose to do something else. What would church look like if we focused on the connection of hospitality more than the labor of hospitality? What would church look like if we enjoyed, not just tolerated and acknowledged, but enjoyed the reflection of the divine that is in the weirdos, the outcasts, the outsiders, the immature, the reflection of the divine in another person, if we enjoyed that instead of trying to mold it into our own image? What would church look like if we just focused on connection and less on busyness being a sign of our faith? What would church look like?